Will you all stand and join me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin? Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. May we join in our song of worship, number 44. Lord, we have come here this day needing your healing power and your encouragement in our lives. Help us to be open to your words of mercy and peace. Prepare us to serve you with our whole lives, for it is in Jesus' name we pray, as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Welcome, and good morning. We're glad to see all of you here today, and we're glad that you've come. If you're visiting with us and you are our guest, we invite you to find the visitor's card in the pew rack in front of you and fill that out so that we might have some information about you so we can get to know you better, and put that in the offering plate a little later on. We have some of our congregation that are not here today because it's the youth, and they are visiting another church this morning to get some exposure to other ways of worshiping and some other traditions. And so they're over at the William Street Methodist Church this morning. We have about seven people over there, which leads to one of our in the life of the church announcements. The youth meeting is tonight at 6:30, and they'll have the opportunity to come and share a time of youth fellowship, and they're going to talk about their experience this morning, and so we're glad for that. Also, this afternoon, there is a Christian mission and outreach meeting at 2 o'clock. So we have a full day today. And the newsletter deadline for next month is also today. So if you have items that you would like to put in the newsletter, please get them to Larry Falk today. And don't forget, this is January. And so it's quarterly congregational meeting month, and that will be this Wednesday at 6:30, and beginning with our potluck fellowship meal, and then a meeting at 7 o'clock. So please be here for that. And don't forget about the sign-up sheets that are in the fellowship hall, or in the fellowship area, the gathering space. We do have all four things that we sign up for. Certain Paneras, rides for David, and you'll have to help me with the other two. Extended session and fellowship time. And also remember our missions emphasis for the month, which is: we are collecting items for both Family Promise and the Place of Warmth, and we will do that this Sunday and next, and we do thank you for your contributions. I want to talk for just a minute about an event that will be taking place next week. The Delaware Community Coalition, which sounds like it's a really official thing, but really all it is a group of people who've gotten together and decided that they want to try and improve communication between the police and the community and improve race relations. And one of the things that they're doing, part of that involves some churches who have gotten together and decided that from time to time they would like to have joint activities. And they've decided that on the fifth Sundays, which is next Sunday, they're going to have joint worship services, and we're going to meet at the Vineyard. For those of you who don't know where that is, it's up on Troy Road by where the McDonald's is, and the Speedway. It's back in there. And that will be next Sunday night, and there is going to be a potluck meal, and anybody who wants to come to this, I would encourage just to come and don't worry about bringing food, and I'll tell you why. Because they told us that they would assign different things to bring according to what church you're from, and they didn't assign us anything, so all you have to do is come. But there will also be a worship service. And also, one of the things I like about it is that they're going to try and split us up so that we can't just sit with each other, but we have to meet people. That's part of what this is for, an opportunity to meet people. And I'm going. Anybody who wants to come is welcome. I think I've handled all the announcements. So let's continue in worship with hymn number 499, "The Master Has Come." Shall we stand together? Thank you.
ushers come forward for the morning offering. May we pray. Giver of every good and perfect gift, in gratitude for your love and blessing, we bring offerings of thanksgiving. We dedicate them and ourselves to your service. Bless them and us that both may be agents of your good news. Amen.
Have a children's moment this morning. Good morning, Brendan. I'm going to tell you a story. Now, it's a story that I'm pretty sure I've told before, and I'm not sure if you were here when I told it. Some of you might have been. So if this sounds familiar, listen to it like it's the first time you heard it. It's a story about something that happened between me and my son several years ago, when he was maybe a little older than you. We were driving in the car, and all of a sudden he asked me a question. He said, "Dad, do my teachers always tell me the truth?" He said, "Because I think they're lying. They keep telling me that I can be anything I want when I grow up. And all I ever wanted to be is a dog." And that was kind of interesting because he kind of caught me. I was about to tell him that they were right. He could be anything he wanted to be when he grew up. Then I realized, he's got me. He can't be a dog. In our Bible story this morning, you're going to hear, when it's read, a story about Jesus who meets some people on the Sea of Galilee who were fishermen. Now, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they weren't the kind of fishermen that are missing church this morning because they're having church on the lake. You know, there are some people that like to go fishing instead of coming to church. They were professionals. This was their way they made a living. So I don't know if when they were growing up, and they thought about what they wanted to be when they grew up, they said, "I want to be a fisherman." Maybe they just didn't have a choice. But Jesus met them and he told them something else. He said, "I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men, which means that he was telling them that they could be something more than just fishermen. They could be the person that God wants them to be. That maybe it's true that we can't be anything we want. But we can be the kind of person God wants. We can be compassionate and kind. And that God has a purpose for our lives. And that God will make the circumstances happen to allow us to live out that purpose. So, even though you can't be a dog, would you ever want to be a dog when you... Samuel said, "Wouldn't it be cool to be a dog? Think about it, lying around all the time and everybody else takes care of your needs and you're always happy." anyway. Even though you can't be a dog, you can be who God wants you to be. Let's pray for that this morning. Lord, we pray that each of us would ask you who you'd have us be and what you would have us do, and then you would give us the gift and the grace of being who you've made us. In Jesus' name, amen. As we come to this time of prayer this morning, we do well, and it is good for us to pray for our country. And since the momentous event has taken place this past week, where we've inaugurated a new president, and once again there has been the peaceful transfer of power, and the new administration's in place, and it's not just the administration, but all the new people in Congress, and even on the local level and the state level that are taking new offices. It is good for us to be in prayer for them and for our country. Are there other concerns that you would like to share this morning?
I had mentioned a while back that my sister-in-law in Texas has cancer. So she had surgery and it was successful, and they're giving her a lot of hope that they got it all. So she's quite happy. My other sister-in-law in West Virginia, Kathy, was in the hospital this week. Her heart stopped, and we were able to get it started again. But she's had some severe issues, and they've called hospice. I'm sorry, I had a brain cramp there. Hospice has been called in to help her and my brother. Her name is Kathy, and his name is George. So if we could be in prayer for them. Thank you.
I'd like for us to be in prayer for a young man named Zach Sellers. He lives in Florida. His grandmother is my friend Ina Baker here in town, and she called me a couple days ago, and Zach and his girlfriend were in a head-on crash in Florida where someone went left to center, and Zach isn't doing so hot. He's in the hospital with two broken legs, a broken wrist, a fractured skull. And the sad part is that Ina, some years ago, lost a daughter to a car accident. So, prayers for she and her family.
I think it would also be good for us to continue and remember the Stevenson family in prayer. They were all here yesterday for a private memorial for Jim, and pray for them. Let us pray together. Dear God, we're grateful that we can come to you in prayer, that you hear us. You hear us when we get together and say out loud the things that are concerned to us and of joy to us. We are also thankful that you hear the prayers we don't pray out loud and the ones we only pray in private. We do pray for President Trump and his administration. Guide and lead him. And for all those who serve in our government, but also who serve in our communities here and around the world. We do pray for this family who has lost a dear friend, and for our church family as we are suffering the loss of Jim Stevenson. We pray for these who are struggling with health issues, that you would bring them healing and strength, comfort and peace. But all of these things just mark the deeper concern we have for our own lives, that we know that we only have a temporary amount of time to live on this earth, and along the way, we know what it's like to be selfish, to seek not your will but our own will, and to do harm where we should have done good. So we pray for forgiveness and transformation. We pray for wholeness in the name of Christ. Amen. Our song of meditation this morning is number 2167 in the Black Hymnal. Shall we stand together and sing More Like You?
Our scripture today is Matthew 4:18 through 24. Jesus calls his first disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them.
Christian faith begins along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus approached two sets of brothers with a simple invitation. "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fishers of men, fishers of people." And for reasons that are not given, they dropped everything and they left to follow him. They had no idea what they were getting into, of course. In the general scheme of things, the Sea of Galilee was not the center of the world. As a matter of fact, in the Roman Empire, it was kind of on the edge of things. And Peter and Andrew and James and John were not prominent people. At least not behind their, not beyond their lakeside community. When it comes to the historical considerations, this was a rather obscure event, like millions of other obscure events that happen every moment. Most of the people in the world didn't know about it at the time. And most assuredly, the movers and shakers in the Roman world, this strikes me as something to mark. And it strikes me as something to mark because in our time and place, the center of power is in Washington, D.C., and we've just had a momentous event there. We've just had an election. And it's all in the news. It strikes me that 2,000 years later, after the Roman Empire came and went and all the rest of history happened, that we are talking about this event that took place between Jesus and these two sets of brothers, not about what Caesar Tiberius did or any of the others. I mention this obscurity just simply because of the tension in our country over this last election. And I think it's not just over the last election. It's a building tension that's been there for quite some time. There are some who are elated because they believe that at last our country has a chance of moving in the right direction. And there are others who are deeply concerned and grieved because they believe exactly the opposite. These differences of opinion about things run deep, and they affect the way we view each other. And this concerns me. Ordinarily, I'm restrained about things having to do with politics and with the national direction, and I believe it's right to be that way. But I am concerned about the dividedness. Maybe I'm the only one. It seems that most people are talking about one side or the other, and their concerns have to do with that. I'm concerned about the fact that it's not just a divide that divides Americans, but it divides Christians too. And when the way our discourse is becoming more and more strained and more tense and more negative, it concerns me. For wherever it is that we are going, we're going to have to go together. The divisions between us are the real sickness, and it seems like we're getting sicker. Relationships are more important than being right. So, given everything that's happening, and I'm not going to tell anybody what their feelings should be or what their convictions should be, I do have a few suggestions to make. And actually, the suggestions I make come from Paul in Ephesians, as a matter of fact, where he says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful to building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. After all, the rule of love is the highest rule. I also thought of what Paul said in Romans, very 15:3. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And be reminded with James that human anger does not accomplish God's will, even if it is righteous or justified anger. And finally, and this is where I sort of circle back around to this obscure event that took place between Jesus and these fishermen, remember that the real news, and I use that phrase with some trepidation because of the recent fake news scandals. I'm not opposing real news to fake news. I'm opposing the news of what happens in the world. The obscure events versus the momentous ones that make the television news and that we think about. The real news is not what is happening in Washington. Try and remember. The real news is in obscure lakeside towns where there are no reporters and where seemingly ordinary people have encounters. They meet. And they make decisions, sometimes almost on a whim, or it seems like it, that not only change their lives, but they change the life of the world. The real news happens when people experience the miracle of becoming friends against the cultural trends of the day. It happens wherever the gospel encounter happens. In one way or another, someone hears the words, "Follow me." And for some reason, drops whatever they're doing to follow, even though they don't really have any idea where it may all lead. The real news is what God is doing. And it's interesting the way what God is doing can affect the larger stage of history, but isn't affected by it. What God is doing happens regardless of what we are doing. Anyway, enough of that. I do not ordinarily speak to these things, but sometimes it's necessary to think about what's going on in the larger society because the biblical message is relevant to it. And I hope that we will remain encouraged, if we need to be encouraged, and realistic, if we're feeling really good. At any rate, we can learn something about where following Jesus leads from the summaries in the Gospels, which characterize the movements and activities of Jesus when he was calling his first disciples and asking them to follow. And Matthew tells us that it led them throughout Galilee. He says, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. We read that as the news about him spread throughout the region, people with all sorts of maladies were brought to him and he healed them. Here, there is no sign that Matthew indicates that Peter and James and John and Andrew saw the trouble that was going to come later, that would change the way they understood him and change the way they interpreted his life and what it all meant. What they saw here and now was pain. So early in the public part of the ministry of Jesus, what we are told is that it is defined by miraculous healing for people with all kinds of maladies. Some of the pain was severe. At least, it's miraculous to us. And I think if we're suspicious or skeptical about our own abilities to work such wonders, we might at least learn from Jesus' desire to help and willingness to see the pain. Sometimes I wonder if there was ever a time in human history when human beings weren't conflicted, when they could pursue their selfish ways without wanting to help others, without being hurt when they see other people in pain. But at least for Jesus, he couldn't live that way. He forces us to consider the notion that we are healthiest when we serve, and most unhealthy when we are unduly selfish. So Jesus was inclined to help others, and when he called his first disciples, the first few steps of the journey led to places where there were people in pain, and their mandate was to serve. And in their experience, they witnessed extraordinary things. We are also told that the early ministry of Jesus was characterized by preaching and teaching the good news of the kingdom. That's the way Matthew put it anyway. They called it good news. But let us not be naive and think that the world into which they preached this good news was a world that didn't have bad news in it, or at least not as bad as the news of our world. They did have bad news in it, and they suffered under great evil, and they were threatened. And it was into a world like that that the good news came, which means it's into a world like ours that the good news comes. The good news, that is the wonderful news, that the creative power that made the universe is a person who is kind and compassionate. It is the news that mercy is part of the fabric out of which all things were made. It is the sometimes hard to take news that the cause of all the trouble in the world is the people. All the people, including ourselves, because sin is universal and it is inescapable. But it is the news that there is nothing that we have done, nothing that we will do, nothing that we can do that can separate us from God's love. And it is the news that the best, most transforming things happen when people meet and become friends, because that is a really good way of describing what it means to be fishers of people. First the meeting, then the healing begins, and that is the real news. Let us pray. O Lord, open our hearts that we might meet, and that in meeting each other and our neighbors and even our enemies, we might also meet you and hear the words, "Follow me," and then drop everything in order to follow. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is in the black hymnal number 2239. It's a new one. And there's a descant that we aren't going to be using, but Mary Lou is going to play it through once for us before we sing. This is our time of commitment and dedication, and we pray that you would consider the fellowship, the prayers, the hymns, and the words that you have heard today as you get ready to leave and go into the world. Shall we stand and sing together? Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for all we have seen and heard today, and for the wonderful news of your love and grace, and pray as we leave that you would fill us up with your Holy Spirit and with peace and with joy. In Christ's name, amen.